Well, it's a joy to be back with you again this morning. Last Sunday, we were just beginning to explore the idea of forgiveness, looking at those words of the Lord Jesus on the cross. And we're going to continue to explore that same theme a little bit this week by looking at one of the parables of the Lord Jesus. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 18 and from verse 21 to the end of the chapter. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that they had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servants in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Well, how am I supposed to forgive that? And how many times should I forgive them? And aren't I only giving them a license to keep doing what they've already done before? I'm sure they're the kind of questions that we've all asked at some time before. And it's as though Peter here speaks for all of us when he asks Jesus to set some sort of limits on this matter of forgiveness. How many times do I have to forgive? Well, Dave Harvey suggests that Peter needs more than a calculator. He needs a complete renovation of his understanding of God's love and forgiveness. Peter asks a question and quickly suggests an answer in verse 21. "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times." Well, seven was the traditional Jewish number of fullness or completion. Surely you couldn't be expected to forgive more times than that. As far as Peter is concerned, this is as generous as he can possibly think of. Apparently, the Jewish rabbis only expected that someone would forgive another person up to three times. Peter has at least grasped that Jesus is going to expect more than that. It seems as though he doubles the number and throws in one more for good measure. Surely Jesus will recognize Peter for the good Christian that he is. But Jesus' response makes Peter's generosity look like a drop in a bucket. Jesus' response can either mean 7 times 70 or 77 times, but if you're already calculating what 7 times 70 is, you've missed the point as much as Peter. Peter needs more than a calculator. He needs a complete renovation of his understanding of God's love and forgiveness. The number that Jesus uses here, 77, isn't a random number picked out of the air. Rather, Jesus seems to be alluding to a character from the Old Testament. You might remember him. He was a violent and a bloodthirsty man. His name was Lamech. He boasted to his wives in Genesis 4, "I've killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me." You didn't want to mess with Lamech. If you so much as spoke out of turn or looked at him strangely, your life could be in danger. He was violent and vengeful, a man who liked to keep score. Here's what he said: if Cain is avenged 7 times, then Lamech 77 times. There's that number, 77. Now, what Lamech really means is this: there will be no end to his vengeance. If someone hurts him, there is no limit to what Lamech will do in revenge. He is talking about vengeance without limits. So Jesus' response to Peter is really, as many as it takes. Jesus is talking about forgiveness without limits. That's why Peter will need more than a calculator. He will need a complete renovation of his understanding of God's love and forgiveness. I like the word that Dave Harvey uses here, this word renovation. I remember speaking with friends some time ago who were renovating their house. It involved removing walls, moving stairs, opening up rooms, building on a complete new section to the current building. But for the renovation to be done, there was a certain amount of tearing down before there could be any building out. Now that's what Peter needs. He needs the walls of his understanding of forgiveness to be knocked down before they can be built out. And Jesus has just the story to take the bulldozer to Peter's understanding of forgiveness. Jesus introduces a man who has an incalculable debt. The NIV that I just read from uses a very vivid image, 10,000 bags of gold. Now it's literally 10,000 talents. Now, as I understand it, a talent was the largest unit of currency at the time, and 10,000 was the highest Greek numerable. So what Jesus is describing is the largest debt it's even possible to conceive of. It is an incalculable debt. The king, however, is wanting to get his affairs in order to settle his accounts, and as he does so, he comes across this colossal debt. And because the man isn't able to pay, he's threatened with his wife and children being sold in order to repay some of the debt. But this is an incalculable debt that could never be repaid. The servant pleads in verse 26, "Be patient with me, and I will pay back everything." But his debt is like a credit card bill that has got completely out of control. Initially, he didn't pay much attention to the interest that he had to pay off each month to service the loan. But then the interest started to grow more and more each month until it seemed that he was barely paying off the interest on his debt. Eventually, his repayments couldn't even keep up with the interest, so that rather than his debt growing smaller, it just continued to grow bigger. At this point, more time doesn't help at all. More time will only see the debt increase further. The problem isn't time. The problem is the inability to pay. R.C. Sproul comments, even if the king had infinite patience, infinity would not have been long enough for the man to work off his debt. It's an incalculable debt that could never be repaid, that was cancelled by the king. Now, I don't think it's incidental or accidental that in Jesus' story it is the king who is owed the debt. The king is the very highest authority in the land. The king can do whatever he wishes to the person who owes him the debt. The king is not bound by anyone at all. One old Puritan prayer said this: let me never forget that the heinousness of sin lies not so much in the nature of the sin committed as in the greatness of the person who is sinned against. Think about the concept of treason for a moment. Originally, treason was understood as a crime against one's king, often punishable by death, not because of the crime that was committed, but because of whom the crime was committed against. And in many countries today, treason is still regarded as one of the gravest offences that someone can commit, whether it's a crime against a king or a crime against the state, not because of the nature of the crime, but because of whom the crime is against. You see, the seriousness of this debt is not only the amount that is owed, nor the inability to pay, but the one to whom the debt is owed. The king, however, verse 27, took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. The man wasn't only shown mercy, granting his request for more time to repay the debt. That would have been of no use to him at all. Rather, he was shown grace, giving him what he did not deserve. The whole of the debt was cancelled. Here is a man with an incalculable debt that could never be repaid, which is cancelled by the king. Isn't that exactly what you and I have received? An incalculable debt that could never be repaid, cancelled by the king. And our debt is far more serious than one of money. It is the debt of our sins that will cause us not just to be thrown into a debtor's prison, but into the very depths of hell itself to receive the just punishment that our sins deserve. It's a debt that could never be repaid, either in this life or in the life that is to come. No amount of good deeds could erase this debt of sin. No penance or tears would ever be sufficient. No time would arrive where our punishment will have been over because we have suffered enough. The forgiveness that God offers in Jesus is not only mercy, withholding from us the judgment we deserve, but grace, granting us a blessing that we most certainly do not deserve, the blessing of knowing God, knowing the God who made us, and enjoying eternal life with him. And forgiven sinners forgive sin. That's what we expect, isn't it, in the story? We expect this man to be transformed, like Ebenezer Scrooge on Christmas morning, thankful to be alive and wanting to bless Bob Cratchit and his family. We're expecting him to leave the king's presence a different man, a forgiven man, a man who wants to share the grace and kindness that he has just received from the hand of the king. But no, this man is unmoved by the king's kindness. The very first thing that he does when he leaves the king's presence is to immediately go out and find someone who owes him money. And nothing like those 10,000 bags of gold. We're talking about 100 silver coins, 100 denarii. Now, you don't need a calculator to understand Jesus' point. David Jackman writes, "The first debt was so great, it could never be repaid. The second was so petty, it could easily have been overlooked." In comparison to the debt that had just been forgiven, this is absolutely nothing. But he is unmoved by the king's kindness. He has not been changed by the mercy and grace that he has received from the hands of the king. No, his hands are not as generous as that of the king. Verse 28, he grabbed him and began to choke him. Who would have thought that a man who had been treated so tenderly by the king could treat a fellow servant so harshly? But he is unmoved by the king's kindness and instead demands what is his right. Verse 28, pay back what you owe me. Now, of course, he's right. This is a debt that is owed. This is a debt that should be repaid. He has loaned this other man some money, and he has every right to be repaid. But did you notice that Jesus puts the exact same words in the mouth of this man? The first man now hears the very same words that he had said to the king. Verse 29, be patient with me, and I will pay it back. Now, in contrast to his own debt, this is a small debt that could easily be repaid. Time would have made all of the difference. But this man doesn't have a single drop of mercy within him. Unmoved by the king's kindness, he demands what is his right, but it is an injustice that is evident to all. Verse 31. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. The other servants are appalled at what they have just witnessed. How could one who has been treated so tenderly treat another so harshly? How could one who has been forgiven so much not forgive so little? But the outrage of the servants is nothing compared to the wrath of the king. Verse 32. You wicked servant, he says, I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? The man had every right to recall his debt. That's not in question. That would have been justice. But for one who had received such outrageous mercy, to treat another so harshly, will it make this justice a complete injustice? An injustice that was evident to all. The end. That's what we'd like to hear at this point, isn't it? That's how all good stories should finish. But Jesus doesn't end there, because Jesus is not quite finished yet. It's time to roll out that bulldozer, to knock down the walls where we have set up limits to the forgiveness that we're willing to offer to others. We too are going to need more than a calculator. We need a complete renovation of our understanding of God's love and forgiveness so that we in turn might be able to forgive others. Jesus concludes, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Now, when someone sins against us, everything within us cries out for justice. Whether we've been accused of something that we didn't do, or we feel that someone has treated us in a way that is not right, everything within us cries out for justice. We want to be vindicated. And some of you, I am certain, have experienced terrible things at the hands of other people. Unjust things. Things that should never have happened to you. Things that can never be made right. And everything within you cries out for justice. And as a result, we often build walls where we set limits on the forgiveness that we're willing to offer to others. This far and no further. But here Jesus rolls up with a bulldozer to knock down those walls wherever we have set limits on our forgiveness. Because forgiven sinners forgive sin. Now, I'm well aware that the issue of forgiveness is a complex one. For real forgiveness and reconciliation, there needs to be recognition of wrongs that were done and repentance for sins that have been committed. And oftentimes there are real and lasting effects, life-changing effects caused by the wrong actions of others. Not all forgiveness is as neat and tidy as the cancelling of a debt. But Jesus' concern here is not so much with the how of forgiveness, it is with the why of forgiveness. The how question can be a complex one, and in the verses immediately before this story, Jesus gives some instructions on the how question. Making personal efforts to bring about resolution, sometimes seeking the help of others, recognizing the harsh reality that sometimes wrongs are never made right. The how question can be a complex question, but it is not the most important question. The most important question is the why question. Because without the answer to the why question, you will never be able to wrestle with the answer to the how question. But when we have grasped that we have had an incalculable debt that could never be repaid, that has been cancelled by the King, we must be moved by the King's kindness to let go of what is our right and extend something of the mercy and grace that we have received to those who don't deserve it. Why? Because forgiven sinners forgive sin. And those who refuse to forgive others will not be forgiven. That's hard to hear, isn't it? But Jesus states it as plainly as that. If justice is what we want, justice is what we will get. But getting what we deserve is not good news for anyone. After all, what good are 100 silver coins to a man who owes 10,000 bags of gold? The good news is that the one who told this story would absorb the cost of our incalculable debt himself. Jesus would face the fierce wrath of the King so that we need never have to. Upon the cross, Jesus would take the full and final judgment that our sins deserved in himself, so that we could be freely forgiven. And forgiven sinners forgive sin. Those who've received mercy from God extend mercy to those who do not deserve it. Those who've been treated kindly by God do not treat others harshly who have sinned against them. Why? Well, simply because we who are trusting in Jesus as our Savior have come to understand that though we want justice, there is something we need more. We need mercy. Let's pray. Well, Father, even as we listen to your word this morning, and especially for those who have faced and experienced serious hurt in their lives, even however distant that might be in their past, we know that simply reading this passage this morning and hearing it explained stirs up so much within our hearts, and even things that perhaps have been settled for some time. And that in itself reminds us of how complex this issue of forgiveness is. But Father, we pray that more than that, we would this morning grasp the greatness of your mercy and grace towards us. That however complex that how question is, and how we work through the things that have happened to us, and how we respond to those who have caused us hurt, Lord, I pray that more than that, we would grasp the answer to the why question. That as those who've received so much mercy and grace from your hands, that we would learn how to extend that same grace and mercy towards others. Oh, Father, we know that within us, everything within us cries out for justice. But we pray that again this morning you might remind us that as much as we desire justice, we know that there is something that we need more. We need mercy. And Lord, may we rejoice that we have found that mercy in your Son, the Lord Jesus. And we ask this in his name. Amen.